We turn now to a different kind of battle, this one over an emerald from Brazil. It's known simply as the Bahia, after the Brazilian state where it was originally mined. It's a massive gem and has quite the massive story to go with it. Brendan Borrell covered this yarn for Bloomberg Businessweek. And first things first, he's going to tell us just how big this emerald really is.
I mean, it is an enormous rock. It's about the size of a big tombstone. It weighs 840 pounds. It's not just your classic green emerald, but it's got a bunch of, black schist around it. And embedded in there is a 180,000-carat emerald, which is pretty enormous. But the quality is very low. There's what they call inclusions. The color's not great. So you couldn't just cut this thing up into, 1,000 gemstones. It's more like a mineral specimen.
Is it valuable as you understand it right now?
Well, when it was first pulled out of the mine, the first sale that we know about was for $5,000, which isn't very much. But very quickly, it increased in price. And there have been appraisals for $400 million and $900 million. I think really what it comes down to is the emerald is worth as much as somebody's willing to pay for it. And my guess is it's going to go for something like a few hundred thousand to a few million dollars.
So take us down this long and winding road of this emerald's life. It was discovered in Brazil in 2001. What happened after miners dug it up?
Right. So it changed hands a few times, and the details are kind of sketchy, but it ended up in the hands of a couple Brazilian businessmen who had ties to a gem trader in San Jose, California. And this is where things get kind of funky, because this gem trader met a Silicon Valley investor, and they became involved in this kind of outrageous scheme to use this emerald to fundraise for a technology company, a company that was making high-definition televisions long, this is in 2001, long before they were in everybody's living room. And they were going to use this emerald to get millions of dollars and basically save the company.
I mean, this emerald was sitting in a vault in Brazil for a number of years, and then it goes to New Orleans and kind of disappears. If it's so valuable, at least, at the bottom end of things, why does it keep disappearing?
Right. Well, sort of what happened is this whole plan with the technology company in San Jose kind of fell apart. That company went bankrupt, and then a couple of the players, the CEO and this other gem trader in San Jose, were kind of keeping a low profile for a few years. And then they decided, hey, we should bring that emerald over to the U.S. where we can start to make money from it again. And they were moving it all around. They brought it to New Orleans. They sent it to San Jose. They sent it back to New Orleans. They sent it to Santa Barbara. And all along the way, they were bringing in people who thought they could make some money. I think you might call them suckers. And they convinced them to sort of loan them, $50,000, $100,000 for various emerald-related business plans. And so that's kind of what the emerald was being used for several years.
So while this emerald is in New Orleans, it also kind of goes missing right after Hurricane Katrina, right?
Well, there's a lot of rumor associated with the emerald, and whether or not it was actually fully submerged or not was never quite clear to me. But there was a period of time when some of the main players involved in the emerald were fighting over it, and nobody was sharing information with each other. But it eventually did reappear in Los Angeles, and that's when it got involved in the final dispute that set off the conflict, which is why we're talking today.
Right, and that's where the rock is today. Who's coming forward to claim it right now? The original investors from San Jose, is Brazil probably trying to get it back as well?
Right. Basically, what happened was there was a sort of the final scheme was a businessman from Idaho wanted to buy some diamonds, and the folks from San Jose said, hey, we're going to bring some diamonds and you give us $1 million. And for now, you can have put your name on the emerald. But the diamonds never showed up. And so the guy from Idaho picked it up one day and drove it away. And the San Jose folks brought in the Los Angeles sheriff. And when the sheriffs got involved, they started looking at the paperwork and they said, oh, my God, we can't really tell who actually owns the emerald. So we're going to keep it. And you guys figure things out in court. So 5 years have gone by, and now the main contender for the rock is this guy from Idaho, Kit Morrison. And just when he thought he was sort of on the verge of making a settlement with some of the final players was when the country of Brazil stepped in and said, hey, hold on a minute. This emerald should have never left the country. This is our rock. This is a national treasure. We want to put it in a museum.
Do we have any sense of who's going to end up by getting this rock?
You know, I really don't know what's going to happen. I mean, so there have been so many twists and turns in this case that it's very difficult to predict.
It's a really weird story about a piece of something that looks like a piece out of the Petrified Forest. Is there a lesson here about the value of precious gems and what people are willing to pay for things that go bling?
Yeah, I mean, I think that this is a rock that has no practical value to the world. It's just a piece of nature that was created inside the earth millions of years ago. And I'm intrigued by it. I'm intrigued by the human story and intrigued by the mineralogical value of it. But yeah, ultimately, it's, you know, it's not really worth anything.
Brendan Burrell, a writer with Bloomberg Businessweek. That's a hell of a conclusion. Thank you.
Thank you.
You can see what the Bahia Emerald looks like. Trust me, it is big. We've posted pictures at PRI.org. You're tuned to The World.